my prayer is that we all are, from our heart of hearts, saying glory to God in the highest, and we're ready to share, even in these next few days, with those the Lord might bring in our midst, the tremendous reality of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ.
Thanks for joining us for this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today we look at the reason that we can celebrate Christmas.
You know, Dave, culturally speaking, people know why they celebrate Christmas. They give gifts and so forth, but that is so far from the real reason why we celebrate. We even hear Jesus is the reason for the season. But why? Why is Jesus the reason for the season? Now, that's what we're going to look at today on Equipping the Saints. Our text is Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 9.
Be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain this entire series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, it is getting close to Christmas. This is the last Sunday before Christmas time, and what a blessing it is to sing those wonderful hymns of praise. Some call them Christmas carols. Wonderful hymns of praise. And within that, we have an idea of why we celebrate Christmas. Most coming here to church today probably understand that Christmas is about Christ. It's about the birth of Christ. And yet there are so many out in the world who no longer understand or know the reality of what has happened already and what God has done for us. And so today, we're going to be looking at a passage in Isaiah chapter 53 that reminds us of the incredible reality of what God did in sending his son to die for our sins. And my prayer is that we all are, from our heart of hearts, saying glory to God in the highest. And we're ready to share, even in these next few days, with those the Lord might bring in our midst, the tremendous reality of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 9, where we will see truly what Christmas is all about. Now, before we get into our passage, brief note of context for the book of Isaiah. It was written 700 years before Jesus Christ came on the scene, before God took on human flesh. By the prophet Isaiah it was written, inspired by the Spirit. And the subject of the book of Isaiah is the restoration of the created order. And that restoration comes in the form of two things. One, judgment, or redemption. That's how God restores this created order from sin. It's either redemption for those who be willing to accept the Redeemer, or judgment for those who are not. And within that, as we get close to our passage in Isaiah, God has revealed that he will judge the unbelieving nations and unbelieving Israel. And then he's revealed that there is redemption to come, more specifically through Babylon for Israel at that time, through Cyrus, who would be a type or a picture of Christ to come, who would redeem us from our sins. And so Isaiah reveals the Messiah to come, who would arrive and be a suffering servant on our behalf, and would restore those to God who are willing to receive him and receive the forgiveness of sins. You know, a little later on in Isaiah 55, there's an invitation that comes after this passage. An invitation for all who are willing to receive salvation through the suffering servant Jesus Christ. Isaiah 55 verse 1, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy?" The point is, why do you try to have a relationship with God by trying to buy it or do things? It's free. It's free through trusting in the suffering servant, Jesus Christ. Later on in verse 6 of chapter 55, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Tremendous invitation from the living God that goes out today as we look at the way in which God chose to redeem those who are willing to be saved. The message of Christmas, let's take a look at Isaiah 53. First, verse 1. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. He had no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor an appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Now, as you read this, it identifies someone who would suffer, who would be despised and forsaken, who would suffer for us, who would die, who would take our sins. And as you wonder, who is this speaking of? Who is this speaking of? We would say Jesus, but why would we say it's speaking of Jesus? Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And this is when Philip is directed to go speak to the Ethiopian eunuch. And this reveals our passage and who this is speaking of. Acts chapter 8. We're going to begin in verse 26. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." That is a desert road. And he arose and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch of the court, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. That's what we read. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join the chariot." And when Philip had ran up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. He was led like a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before a shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation and judgment was taken away. Who shall relate to his generation? For his life was removed from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet Isaiah say this? Of himself or someone else?" And Philip opened his mouth and began from this scripture. He preached Jesus to him. Our passage is about Jesus. It's about Jesus Christ. It is about the God who took on human flesh. It's about Jesus. And so, as we look at this passage, remember the term Jesus, what that means. You know, the angel Gabriel told Joseph that you shall name him Jesus. Matthew 1:21, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus means the Lord is salvation. It's the Lord who saves, the Lord who took on human flesh. It's his human name, Jesus. And it's important to realize that first and foremost, Christmas is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Now, yes, there are presents and all kinds of different things, but it is about Jesus. That's what Christmas is about. Unless we get caught up in all the stuff that the world makes it into, we need to remember primarily the focus of Christmas is completely the person of Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, with the point of who it is, what observations can we make back in Isaiah 53? Look at verse 1. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Notice this message here is about Jesus, and it is a message to be believed. Who has believed our message? The term message speaks of report or news or tidings. It's the news concerning Jesus, and it's the good news as we see. Who has believed our message? Isaiah begins with a question here, and the question is vitally important. Because within that, we see, as I've mentioned, it is a message to be believed. It is not a message to be taken in by our senses or our reason or alone. It is a message to be believed. It is received by faith, and it is about Jesus Christ. That is the message. Indeed, John makes it clear in his gospel, he says in the end of it, these things have been written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have eternal life in his name. It's about believing. It's about believing in Jesus. Now indeed, the Apostle Paul quotes this passage in Romans chapter 10. Turn to Romans chapter 10. You see it threaded throughout Scripture. A vitally important passage concerning Jesus. Romans chapter 10. And Paul's going to make the point that the same gospel that he's sharing is the same one that was back in the Old Testament. It was just a version that was not encompassed. It had not bloomed like a flower yet. It pointed to the seed of Abraham, the one who would take on our sins, the one who would have to die for our sins, as we see Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who will call upon him. That's the key. And he says here, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's a personal interaction, calling upon Christ to save you. And how shall they call upon him in whom they have not heard, or who have not believed? And how shall they believe in him they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. However, now this is speaking of Israel, by the way. However, he says here, they did not all heed the glad tidings. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? The implication is not many have, right? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. See, this is a message to be believed, but it is from the word of God. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. It's God's word that we believe. It's not simply someone's opinion or someone's argument. It is the word of God concerning Christ that we believe. It is the message that God revealed in his word concerning Christ. In John chapter 12, actually, let's turn to John chapter 12. John 12, verse 35. You see, and we need to remember when we share the message of Christmas, we need to share the word of God, the truth of what God did through his son, Jesus Christ. It's the message of Jesus. John 12, 35. Jesus shares this truth here. He says, Jesus therefore said to them, for a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light in order that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke, and he departed and hid himself from them. But though he had performed many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this cause they could not believe, for Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes, he has hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them. These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory, and he spoke of him. Spoke of Christ. He spoke of Jesus Christ. But here, Isaiah is saying, who has believed the message? Pointing to Israel at the time of Christ, rejecting him, not believing the message. And my question would be to you, have you believed the message? It comes by, it's received by faith. Have you believed in the message of Jesus Christ? Have you believed in the message that you're a sinner and you need a Savior? Well, notice back in Isaiah chapter 53, he continues. He says, verse 1, who has believed our message and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You see, the gospel was revealed from heaven and not from man. Paul would say that in Galatians chapter 1. He received it not of man. It is God's truth given to man concerning his son Jesus. And that message is about Christ, revealed in his word and received by faith. And notice we have an overview of the message. It's about the arm of the Lord being revealed. You say, what is that? In the Old Testament, the term arm spoke of strength. To whom has the Lord's arm, his power, his strength been revealed? It's the Lord's saving strength and power in Christ that is revealed to the message of the gospel. Only Jesus saves. He is the only Savior. It is God's strong, saving right arm, Jesus Christ, that brings salvation. It is through Jesus Christ that we are saved from our sins. You see, the message of Christmas concerns Jesus, and it's revealed in the Word of God, and it is to be believed. Have you received Christ? Have you believed the message? Well, what is that message specifically? Notice, first of all, Isaiah begins to explain. He begins to explain that it's first of all about Jesus' humanity. Verse 2. For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He had no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor an appearance that we should be attracted to him. In this message to be believed concerning Jesus, we see first of all, pointing to Jesus, grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. This is an amazing statement. This is referring to the incarnation, God taking on human flesh. It's the message of Jesus. And here we see that Jesus grew up before the Father. He grew up before him like a tender shoot, a young, vulnerable plant. He became like us, as we'll see. And I believe this is speaking of the years of his childhood in which Jesus grew up. You see, God took on human flesh. He grew up just like you and I. He grew up, he became a man. The years in which no one fully comprehended who Jesus was, the Father in heaven was carefully watching over the eternal Son as he grew up in the flesh, tender and vulnerable. What an amazing thought. God incarnate growing up like us. Like us. Jesus grew up from infancy to childhood to adulthood. Totally dependent like us. Listen to the following verses concerning this wonderful truth. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke puts it this way in Luke 1:26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For this reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God." And then look at chapter 2 of Luke. "Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee from the city of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Tremendous reality. And then I mentioned this already, but John puts it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he goes on to say, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God the Son became like us, yet without sin. And he grew up before the Father, just like any other child, yet without sin. Tremendous, wonderful realities. And we know from Luke chapter 2, verse 40, that the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The message of Christmas is about his humanity, God taking on human flesh. God taking on human flesh, tremendous reality, but yet it is also about his humility. You see, he grew up before him like a tender shoot. And then it says in our passage back in Isaiah, like a root out of parched or literally dry ground. Well, what does a root represent? Certainly it could point to Jesus, who is the root and offspring of David. He comes from David's loins. It is God who took on human flesh to be king, the king of the Jews, to be the Redeemer king who would die for our sins. King Jesus arose in a time of Israel's history. Notice where it was parched ground. It was dry ground, barren and dry in relationship to God. Israel seemed spiritual, but they were spiritually dry in relationship to God. They didn't believe the message. Who has believed the message? Well, how is your heart? Is your heart parched, dry, and barren? Pray for God to open your eyes. Lord God, soften my heart, that I may see the glory of what you've truly done through your Son, Jesus Christ. Soften my heart that I would be saved. Notice his humility. Not only did he take on human flesh, which is humility in and of itself, but notice that manifest, middle of verse 2. He had no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that he took on human flesh, that he came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that his work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to him and ask him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son, Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for your son. And it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.